Hey there, I hope your Friday is off to a good start, and I hope you have a really good weekend planned. I want to talk about some college basketball. You can probably tell by the hat, I want to talk about Mizzou basketball today. I'll be back later with another video, probably on the Cardinals. But anyway, the Mizzou Tigers have a couple of tough road games to deal with over the next several days. They're going to be playing at Mississippi State on Saturday. Then they'll follow that up with a game at Tennessee on Wednesday. According to Friday morning's NCAA net ratings, Mississippi State's number 24 in the nation. Tennessee is number 6. Listen, it has been a really positive season for Mizzou so far. You didn't need me to tell you that if you're a Mizzou fan. The Tigers are 16-4 overall, and they're 5-2 in the powerful SEC. If we look at some of the ratings, I don't pay attention to the AP poll. If we pay attention to some of the respective metric sites, Ken Pomeroy's got Mizzou ranked as the fourth best team in the SEC right now, behind Auburn, Alabama, and Florida. And as we all know, Mizzou's got a win at Florida. The Tigers currently sit at number 22 nationally in the Bart Torvik ratings, number 27 nationally in the NCAA net, and number 30 at KenPom. Just getting one win in these next couple of games, I think, would be a perfectly fine result for the Tigers, who have greatly exceeded expectations after last season's frightening, frightful 0-18 record in the SEC. And that's what I want to talk about today, because we're seeing something that is pretty unique, at least so far. And I was curious about something in the last couple of weeks, watching Mizzou win games and getting better and continuing to rise in the rankings. I was curious about, okay, teams that go winless in the conference, what's the history of how those teams do when they come back and play ball next season? You know, how do they rebound, so to speak, from a winless season in the conference? Are they still really bad? Do they at least rise to the level of being mediocre or average? Is it possible for those winless teams to be much, much better? Well, if we look at Mizzou, we do know that it's possible for a team to be significantly better after going 0-18 in the SEC last season. What Mizzou is doing, however, is very unusual. And of course, the Tigers are going to have to keep up the positive work to make that stick. But to this point, Coach Dennis Gates and his squad deserve a ton of credit for this dramatic turnaround. If Mizzou can finish with a winning record in SEC play, they'll become the first major conference team to pull that off after failing to win a league game in the previous season. I think this is outstanding, and we need to talk about it more because I love when things are kind of historically prominent. So I'll give you the history and the notes that elevate Mizzou potentially, pretty rare historical air, right? My study consists strictly of major conference programs during the shot clock era that began in the 1985-86 season, but we're still talking about 40 years of college basketball. That's a long time. I would say this is a sufficient sample size, right? Here's what I found. Two SEC teams have had winless conference records, Vanderbilt in 2018-19 and Mizzou last season. There have been four winless conference records in the ACC: Wake Forest in 85-86, Maryland in 86-87, Boston College in 2015-16, and Pittsburgh 2017-18. There have been four winless conference records in the Big East: Miami in 1993-94, DePaul in 2008-09, Georgetown in 21-22, and DePaul in 23-24. There have been four winless teams in conference play in the Big 12: Baylor back in 1998-99, Texas A&M in 2003-2004, TCU in 2013-14, and Iowa State in 2020-21. There have been only two winless conference records in the Big Ten, and Northwestern has had them both in 1990-91 and 1999-2000. And we got to include the defunct Pac-12 in here, right? They had during the shot clock era, before they cease to exist, the Pac-12 had only one team with a winless conference record during the shot clock era, Oregon State flopping in 2007 and 2008. Okay, so here's the question, and this is where Mizzou comes in a shining way. How did all those teams do when it was time to start fresh, start over the next season? It's been pretty bleak. It's been really bleak. Like, for example, I'll just give you one specific team example. Vanderbilt followed up that 0-18 record in 2018-19 by firing coach Bryce Drew. The Commodores went 3-15 the next season under Jerry Stackhouse in his first season. All right. So I took a look at the other records of the winless conference team to see what those programs did collectively in league play during the next year. So here's the raw result. If we put all those teams I mentioned together, they had a 238 winning percentage in conference competition in the follow-up season to a winless season in the conference. 238 winning percentage. But if we take two teams out of that, and I'll explain why I'm doing that, the collective conference winning percentage in the follow-up season is only 201. I mean, a 201 winning percentage in conference play the year after you're winless in conference play. In other words, it is not easy to pull your team up out of the rubble. A lot of times it kind of stays down there, not winless, but stays way down there. So why did I take out two teams from this little study of mine? Because those teams each had a 500 record in conference play when they came back from the winless season the season before. Number one, Texas A&M fired coach Melvin Watkins, who later became a Mizzou assistant after going 0-16 in 2003-2004. The Aggies hired Billy Gillespie. He pushed A&M in his first season to an 8-8 record in conference action. And after that, he took the Aggies to two straight NCAA tournament appearances. So that was a really impressive turnaround. The second example is Leonard Hamilton. After going 0-18 in the ACC back in 93-94, Coach Hamilton lifted Miami to a 500 conference record, 9-9 in the next season. And he kept the Hurricanes at a respectable level over the two seasons after that. And then Leonard Hamilton led the program to three consecutive NCAA tournament appearances. So Hamilton pulled his team out of the abyss and he pulled Miami back to higher ground. And as we know, and I assume many of you know, Leonard Hamilton, who later left to go to Florida State, was a very important mentor to a young assistant named Dennis Gates. Hamilton was a tremendous influence on Gates in so many ways. And well, what do you know? I think we kind of see that when given Leonard Hamilton's turnaround history after an awful season, I think we can see that his influence, at least in some ways, I'm not getting that all choked up about it, although I think it's pretty good. Based on how quickly Coach Gates got Mizzou back on track this season after a disastrous 23-24 campaign. So history tells this is very, very difficult to do, extremely difficult. Eight of the coaches, in fact, who had a winless conference record were fired either in season, like I think two of them were fired in the season when they were going winless, or right after the season. They never had a chance to come back and make their teams better. They were gone, gone, gone. Well, this season, Coach Gates has a shot at doing something that's never been accomplished during the shot clock era. And this is where this is pretty exciting to me, and I'm assuming to you. He could become the first coach to lead his team to a winning conference record a season after posting a goose egg, a winless conference record. No coach has ever come back from that in the following year, go above 500 in conference action. Now, not only that, there's more. Gates could become the first major conference coach during the shot clock era to take his program from a winless conference showing the season before, then in the season after, take him straight to the NCAA tournament. A season after being mired at the bottom, of the conference with a winless record. This has never happened before during the shot clock era. And again, we're talking 39, 40 years of college basketball. So that's why I'm pretty fired up about this. Based on the historical results in the scenario that we're talking about, this would be a pretty profound achievement for Dennis Gates. And keep in mind, he's doing this with a team that is competing in the toughest conference in the nation, and it's not even close. The SEC is a monster conference this year. And as I mentioned, the Tigers are at worst a top 30 team right now, better than that, but a top 30 team, and they're 5-2 in the SEC. But the schedule is pretty tough the rest of the way. Mizzou's 11 remaining SEC games includes four contests against opponents that are currently ranked in KenPom's top 25: Mississippi State, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Alabama, and Kentucky. But three of the five games will be at home: A&M, Bama, and Kentucky, coming into Mizzou Arena. Ken Pomeroy, by the way, he projects a final 10-8 SEC record for Mizzou. So it's going to be close. I mean, if one of those games he projects them to win turns into a loss, then it's 9-9. Not that there's anything wrong with that. That's still, based on history, still a really good accomplishment, because only Billy Gillespie and Leonard Hamilton have been able to do that during the shot clock record, get their team to 500 after a winless conference season the season before. But that 10-8 would make Gates the only Power Conference coach during the shot clock era, to have a winning conference slate after having a winless conference slate. And Bart Torvik, by the way, currently gives Mizzou a 98.6% chance to secure an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. That percentage of probability is 21st on the board among 298 teams. Now, I'm not precluding a possibility of Mizzou winning the SEC tournament, although that's going to be difficult. But I'm just telling you, if we're talking about an at-large bid, right now Mizzou's got a 98.6% chance of getting that done, according to the brilliant metrics churned out by Bart Torvik. Well, I don't have to tell Mizzou fans this, but Coach Gates done an exceptional job revamping his roster, elevating his team performance, getting it all done in really short time. Mizzou's got some stuff to work on, no doubt about it. Got to keep the other team off the offensive boards, for example. But compared to last season, Mizzou's dramatically better in a lot of ways: offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency, effective field goal percentage, three-point shooting, two-point shooting, their own offensive rebounding, turnover rate at both ends of the court, getting to the free throw line a lot. And the coach also has got a really deep bench. Mizzou's, I think, 11th or so in terms of bench minutes this season, which in a lot of tough games, a lot of tight games, does give Mizzou an advantage over a lot of their opponents. Think about what it was like a year ago. Think about what it was like, you know, as February rolled on and you're getting towards the SEC tournament. Think about how bleak it was, kind of depressing. We're wondering about Coach Gates, and that's only human nature. He had a really terrific first year at Mizzou, but man, to go winless in your second year, it's winless in the conference play. You can't win one game. So, you know, I never thought that Dennis Gates was going to like be in trouble of losing his job, but I thought, okay, year one was really good, considering where the Tigers were in the program he inherited. Year two was awful. So season number three is going to be a big year for the coach, because if you follow up 0-18 with another dreadful performance, then people are going to start talking about, well, is this guy going to be the one to lead Mizzou to anywhere? Or was that first season a fluke? Well, he's answered a lot of those questions, maybe all of those questions this year so far. In conference play this season. This is a fun team to watch. It's a fun team to root for. I don't think we were saying that a year ago, but we've learned something important. Dennis Gates, maybe Leonard Hamilton helped him a lot. Dennis Gates is a program builder, and he's a turnaround specialist, and the adversity of a winless season didn't take him down a peg. It did in the standings, but in terms of losing confidence, losing the belief in his system and his program and how he goes about things. It didn't faze him at all. He just rolled up his sleeves and got back to work. And look at what he's done in response to having as bad a season as a team can have in a power conference. Dennis Gates is an impressive leader for Mizzou basketball. I'm so glad that he's there. Anyway, thank you for watching. Appreciate it as always. Next time I do this, I'll try to cut down on my stammering, but I've been stammering my whole life. So sometimes, you just got to put up with it. Maybe I didn't have enough coffee. I don't know. Anyway, appreciate you all. Thanks for subscribing if you do, and please subscribe if you don't. And we'll be back later today with something on the Cardinals. Thank you very much.